welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, drama, later on, Stars in the Air with a movie adaptation. But first, it's the Late Esther Screen Guild Theater with the story Journey for Margaret, a CBS episode from April 5th, 1943.
Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players. The Screen Guild play tonight, Journey for Margaret. The starring players, Robert Young, Anita Louise, Margaret O'Brien, and Billy Severn. Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild players in Journey for Margaret, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's production of W.L. White's deeply moving story of England's war-orphaned children. It stars Robert Young as John Davis, Anita Louise as his wife, Nora Davis, 6-year-old Margaret O'Brien as Margaret, and 4-year-old Billy Severn as Peter.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I guess I'm still not used to your calling me Daddy.
What are you writing, Daddy?
I'm writing a story.
About what?
Oh, about you and me and a couple of other people. Now, suppose you run along and play so Daddy can work.
All right, Daddy. You work hard.
Margaret just came in and talked to me. Gentle, serious, wonderful little Margaret. She's our girl now. Margaret Davis, daughter of John Davis, foreign correspondent. That's me. And Mrs. Davis. That's Nora. This really started the first day we got back to London. Nora and I had been through a lot those last few months. Poland, Norway, Holland. All the hopeless horror of the fall of France. Now back in London again, sitting in the third floor room of our hotel, we were having a drink. Nora was drinking milk, of course.
John, I know it's sacrilege, with milk, I mean. But we ought to drink to something.
Nora, I want you to go home.
I'm sorry. Motion denied.
Oh, please go. For me. For us. Go back to New York. And have our baby there.
No, John.
Please, Nora. You saw what they did to Rotterdam. You were in France. They'll do it here, too.
I imagine they will. But they're still having babies in London. Even in Rotterdam. I can't run away from life, John. Neither can you.
I might have known you'd just make a speech.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I didn't mean to get maudlin. You know, I'd better have a drink of your whiskey. I've got to sober up.
That was Nora. Brave, gallant Nora who never once complained. Not even when I had to leave her in the hotel room alone. It was about a week later, I think, my first London raid. I was out in the street with Herbert Allison, head of our London office. I guess it must have been pretty bad. The Hankels roaring up there in the dark and the ack-ack making an awful clatter.
That was close, John. Pretty rough on you to drag you out tonight.
Oh, forget it. If I didn't come out tonight, what would I write about tomorrow?
Oh, what would you write about anyway?
Meaning what?
Now, let's face it, old boy. That stuff you've been turning out is terrible. Straight out of the icebox.
Don't forget, I've got to keep a weather eye on the censor.
The censor wouldn't cut the stuff I want. The sort of copy you sent from Madrid. I'll wager those stories even made the telegraph girls cry.
Well, that was before Munich. Before Czechoslovakia and before France.
I can't blame it on that, John. It's you. You've changed. You don't get mad anymore. Now, if you could get mad the way you used to...
A man can't go on feeling forever. There's a limit. By and by, he finds himself dead. That's why I can't get mad. I'm dead.
Perhaps. Oh, look, there's something across the way. Direct hit, I think. Come on.
Yes, somebody found a telephone. Call it in. Gas and water lines broke. Up to it now and stand by with the ambulance.
What was it, Warren? A direct hit?
Oh, yes, sir. Direct hit it was, sir. Family in the name of Humphreys. Mother and son. Bring him the little lipper out here now. Here they are.
Hold the boy.
I'll hold him now.
Thank you. Now, if we could get him to give up that little wool lamb.
I'll get it. Look, son, Let me hold the lamb for you, will you? I'll give it back. Honest, I promise. That's a good fellow. Now, go ahead, nurse.
I don't think anything's broken. Shock, perhaps. Anything hurt you, son? Your arm.
No, don't hurt.
Oh, good. I'll take him along. Oh, come along, soldier. You're going to be fine.
The cowards. The filthy, rotten cowards to hit a kid like that.
What's the matter, John? Getting mad?
Oh, cut it out, Alice.
I'm sorry. What are you going to do with that lamb?
Lamb? Say, I forgot to give it back.
I'd keep it if I were you. Prop it up on your typewriter when you get back to the office.
Thanks, but I'm not going back to the office right now. I think I'll go home and look in on Nora. May I have my key, please? Room 319.
Yes, sir. I know, sir. Room 319.
What's the matter? Anything wrong?
I'm afraid so, sir. Demolition bomb. Hit a sharp angle. Hit about the fifth floor.
My wife.
Well, you see, sir.
My wife?
St. Medlin's Hospital, Bayswater Road. I think you'd better hurry, sir.
I think you can see her now, Mr. Davis. Just a few minutes, though. I gave her a hypodermic.
Thank you, doctor.
Before you go in, one thing you ought to know. I had to operate.
Operate? Well, why?
There was a lesion from bomb percussion. She'll be all right.
She's got to be all right.
She will be. Of course, she won't be having another baby.
You mean for a long time?
Ever.
Ever?
You mustn't let her know that yet. The full truth right now would make it worse. Do you understand?
Yes, yeah, I understand. Can I go in now?
I think so.
Nora.
Hello, Cookie.
Nora. Nora, darling.
Lean down, John. I want to touch your face.
Like this? Will this do?
Mm-hmm. For now. They gave me something to make me sleep, they said. Only it doesn't feel like sleep. It feels like dying.
Oh, dope always does that to you.
It doesn't matter. They've killed my baby. All our babies. Tomorrow's babies. The day after tomorrow's. All our babies. Forever dead.
Who told you such nonsense?
No one told me. It's true, isn't it?
Darling, please, go to sleep now.
What did I want babies for? It was just a dream. Everything's a dream.
That's the hypo working. You're very drunk, my darling.
I don't want to be a dream. I don't want to be a dream.
Nora, let go. Try to get some rest.
I want to be real. Flesh and blood. I don't want to be a ghost.
Nora, honey.
A ghost. Beautiful ghost. I'll be a ghost. And you'll be a ghost. The whole world crawling with ghosts.
Nora. She's sleeping now. You can come back tomorrow.
Thank you, Doctor.
And I'd suggest you leave that little wool lamb at home. It might make her think of things she'd rather forget.
As soon as Nora could travel, I sent her back to the States. She was so quiet and so bitter, I thought the change might help. I had to stay, of course. I had my work. Maybe Allison was smarter than I knew. He asked for some articles on the Rizik Children's Home. It was there I found an old young friend that kept a promise I had made.
Mr. Davis, you're sure it's the same boy?
I was sure of it when I saw him yesterday. That's why I brought his lamb. It's a bit ragged, a little on the depressing side.
That doesn't matter. It will make a link with his past. It might get him to talk. He scarcely said a word since he came to us.
Here he is, Miss Sprout.
Oh, thank you, Jenny. Come in, Peter. I want you to meet John Davis. Well, Peter, have you lost your tongue?
Well, that's all right, Miss Strauss. Peter, I'm glad to see you again. I brought you something that belongs to you. A nice woolly lamb.
My house.
But I promised I'd give it back. He's an old friend of yours.
My lamb?
The same one. Here.
Lamb. He ran away, Lamb. Oh, Lamb.
Thank heaven.
He's an awful lamb. Awful. He spoils his soup and throws his spoon down the pipe and wets his knickers. He's awful. Oh, Lamb.
And we'll never take him away from you again, Peter. Never. Now take him upstairs and get ready for tea.
Yes, we go.
Goodbye, Peter.
Oh, no. You come, too.
Well, some other time. I'll be seeing you.
You sure? You promise?
Of course I promise.
All right. Come along, Lamb. We go tea.
Poor little devil.
He likes you. It appears you've become something of a link yourself. Yes?
I was told to ask for Miss Strauss.
I'm Miss Strauss.
I'm Mrs. Harris, and this is Margaret. I'm her foster mother, her latest foster mother, that is. There were two others before me, but I'm afraid none of us could handle the child.
I'd rather we discussed it alone.
Oh, little Margaret and I have no secrets. It's just that she won't talk, or eat her food. And nobody's been able to pry her loose from that incendiary B-O-M-B.
I'm sure if you'll just leave her with us.
She does that curious thing all day long. Always rubbing her hands into her eyes like that.
Yes, I see. I believe I know how to...
Oh, not that we don't think it was a privilege, you understand. My husband and I both felt it was...
Good day, Mrs. Harris.
Oh, well. Goodbye.
That woman is worse than a raid.
And much more dangerous. Well, Margaret, we're glad to have you here.
Just stands there and rubs your eyes.
Yes. Margaret, would you like to cry? Would you like to cry, dear? You can, you know. You can cry if you want.
You won't smack me? You won't smack me if I tell her?
Why, of course not. Of course not. We never spank little girls. If you feel like crying, go on and cry. That's it. That's it, Margaret. Go ahead and cry.
I really ought to be getting along, Miss Strauss. I'm way overdue at the office.
You've been wonderful with the children, Mr. Davis.
Well, having tea was fun, but giving them a bath, that's a little out of my line.
They like you. I told them you'd come in to say goodnight. Right in there.
Well, I... Children, you still up?
Bye, Mr. Davis.
Peter, why aren't you asleep?
You're not asleep.
Well, 6:30 isn't my usual bedtime. Now, go to sleep. You too, Margaret.
I want my imagesium bomb.
Well, there it is, right by your cot.
Plans for coming. A bomber.
No, it isn't. It's just our guns chasing the bombers away.
Such a bomber to me. Oh, God, take my love away. Oh, man.
He's going to sleep, Margaret. You go to sleep, too.
Is it a German plane?
No, it's one of ours.
Is it dropping bombs now?
No, no, it's going away.
Now?
Yes, now. You hear? It's going away.
Good. I don't like German planes.
They won't hurt you if I can help it.
You sound awfully mad.
I am awful mad. But not at you. Now, go to sleep.
Will you sleep here, too?
Well, if you want me to.
I want you to. You didn't say your prayers.
Well, I'll say them later.
I want you to say them now. I want you to say your prayers now.
Dear God. Dear God, take care of Nora and Margaret and Peter and all the others. And me... Please keep me mad, God. Please keep me mad. As the days passed, I saw a lot of Margaret and Peter, And when Allison decided to send me to the States for a vacation, I cabled Nora asking her if I could bring the children home with me. When she didn't answer my cable, I phoned. Allison and I waited hours for the call to get through, and then... Hello? Yes, I'm ready. Hello, Nora? Nora?
Yes, John. It's me.
Oh, gosh, I'm glad. You didn't answer my cable.
Well, I just got it, John. I've been away in the country. I haven't been feeling so well.
Nora, I know you. You're not trying to get better.
Well, maybe I wasn't, but I am now. Oh, John, it's a wonderful idea. I'm so excited.
I know, but which one, the boy or the girl?
Oh, darling, you can't ask me to decide.
Well, you can't ask me either. If you knew them, Nora...
Oh, then, darling, bring them both.
Both? Are you sure?
Of course.
I mean, really sure?
Oh, John, dear, come home and find out.
Oh, Cookie, you're wonderful. I'll cable you tomorrow. Allison, she said yes, she wants them both.
So I surmised. Now all you have to do is to get them passage.
You see, if I can get them on my plane to Lisbon, we can take a boat to New York.
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Davis. I'm afraid it's hopeless.
Hopeless?
Your plane is booked to the teeth. So is every plane for weeks.
We're just two little kids. We could squeeze them in. We'd sit in the aisle, the washroom, the... Look, Miss Fleming, why can't I take them as my luggage?
It's certainly irregular, but I might...
You could?
I think so. But then you're allowed only 40 pounds.
Well, that's not enough for two kids. Maybe not enough for one. But suppose they're both under 40 pounds. I could take one and get another passenger to take the other.
If you can persuade them, you're a genius. I'll give you the names.
Miss Fleming, I've never seen you before. Perhaps I'll never see you again. But I love you. I'll love you all my life. I know it's a strange request, Mrs. Bailey, but I've tried all the other passengers and been turned down. I'll make it up to you for everything you have to leave behind. If you'll take this child...
Mr. Davis, I'm going to live with my daughter in Canada. I have no one else left. My husband and my son.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It isn't easy to choose one 40-pound package that will represent 50 years of living. Those few things I can't give up.
Well, you've been very patient, Mrs. Bailey. Thank you, and I do understand. One of them was just over 40 pounds, Miss Strauss. If I just didn't have to choose.
But they're both under 40 pounds. And you do have to choose.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. This one stay, this one go. I can't.
Then I must make your decision for you.
You?
Yes, I'm used to it. Here we must make decisions every day. You wait here. You will know which one in a minute.
Fine spot to be in. I didn't like them both. They weren't so sweet. One of them didn't like me.
Mr. Davis?
Yes, Margaret?
Judy said to tell you it's a girl.
A girl? Margaret, darling. Oh, Margaret, darling.
I hope it's the right one, Mr. Davis.
Could there be a wrong one?
Margaret! Margaret!
Does he know?
I tried to explain. He's so attached to her.
Margaret goes away. I goes too.
I wish it were that easy, son.
But I want to go too with my Mr. Davis.
Well, look, Peter, you'll be having a lot of fun. You'll go to live somewhere in the country, maybe. There'll be horses and cows and sheep, and real live lambs.
Don't walk.
I'll send you some presents, too. A nice new teddy and maybe an elephant.
Don't walk.
Of course you do. I'll send them to Trudy for you.
All he wants is that little ragged lamb of his. Look at the way he holds on to it.
I know. Peter, I'm leaving you, but it isn't because I want to. I like you, Peter, and someday I'll come back. Someday soon. Oh, gosh.
It's getting late, Mr. Davis. You don't want to miss that plane?
Yes. Peter, will you say goodbye? Please, Peter. No, wait, don't leave like that. Peter, wait.
Forgive me. I think it's better so.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Besides, Well, you said yourself it's getting late. Well, you better be going. Goodbye, Trudy.
Goodbye. I only wish you could be taking both of them.
There's the plane, Daddy.
What did you call me?
Daddy, won't you be my daddy when we get to America?
America and everywhere else.
I want to go to America right now.
Well, then we better get aboard, unless you've got a secret pair of wings.
No, Daddy, I haven't got no wings. Margaret! Margaret! Look, Daddy, look! It's Peter.
Peter?
Now, I go stew with my Mr. Davis.
Peter, how did you get here? Who brought you?
I did, Mr. Davis. I found I could do without that 40-pound package after all.
Mrs. Bailey, I don't know what to say.
Well, then don't say it. Somehow after you left, I never felt more lonesome in my life. Up to the last moment, I was resolved. But then I made the mistake of calling your office, and almost instantly there was a lady at my house with a child, a Miss Strauss.
Mrs. Bailey, this is a wonderful thing that you're doing.
My son was in the RAF. Now, shall we go aboard?
I guess this is almost the end of the story. By plane to Lisbon and by boat to New York. We're coming up the harbor now, and I ought to take the youngsters out on deck. New York at night is something they'll remember all their lives. Something I'd rather like to see again myself.
Daddy, look at all the stars in America. It's Christmas. It's Christmas.
No, those are the lights of New York City. The biggest city you ever saw.
What's it got lights on for?
To light up the city, just like... Didn't you children ever see a city with its lights on?
No. What's it got its lights on for?
Well, because that's the way all cities look when they're not afraid of being bombed, when they're not right in the war.
Isn't America right in the war?
Well, only a few days now.
Daddy, we stopped. There's a lot of people getting on in that little boat.
Newspaper man like Daddy.
What's it got its lights on for?
Well, Peter, you see...
John! John H. Davis.
Nora.
I chisel my way under the press box.
Oh, darling.
Oh, Mr. Davis. And Mr. Davis, Jr. And Margaret. Oh, golly.
We saw the lights. All the lights are on. No, they're not. They're going out.
Out? Nora, what's that, a blackout?
Yes, John. New York's blacking out.
The lights are going out.
Are you frightened, Margaret?
No. Margaret's not frightened. But what's it putting the lights out for?
They're putting them out. They're putting them out because all the lights of all the cities of the world must go out before any of them can go on again.
Will they go on again?
Yes, dear. Just as soon as the war is over.
And when they do, not anything. Not anyone will ever put them out again.
Will I see?
Yes, Margaret. You'll see.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present Pittsburgh. It will star Marlena Dietrich, Randolph Scott, and John Wayne. Be sure to listen.
The Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS episode from the 5th of April, 1943. This is an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Straight ahead, an adaptation of the motion picture The Strange Love of Martha Ivers, which was released in 1946, being Kirk Douglas's film debut, and starred Barbara Stanwyck, Van Heflin, and Elizabeth Scott. All four of those movie actors brought their roles to radio in different episodes, and this is the one that featured Elizabeth Scott. Heard on CBS on April 17th, 1952.
This is Elizabeth Scott.
This is Dan Duryea.
And this is Hugh Douglas saying, welcome to Stars in the Air. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome again to 30 minutes of exciting and gripping transcribed drama. A fascinating story tonight. The story of a girl who outwitted death, but was in the end defeated by life. Stars in the Air is proud to bring you Hal Wallace's famous production for Paramount, The Strange Love of Martha Ivers, based on an original story by Jack Patrick, starring Dan Duryea as Sam and Elizabeth Scott as Martha, with Joseph Kearns as Walter O'Neill.
The big neon sign at the city limits said, "Welcome to Iverstown." Welcome. That gave me a laugh. Yeah, a big laugh. About the only laugh I had for the next few days. I hadn't been back for 18 years, not since I was a kid of 12 and lammed out one night to join the circus. As a matter of fact, I wasn't going back now. I was headed west, and the road just happened to run that way. I was heading west pretty fast, I guess. I didn't even slow down to light that cigarette. One minute I was on the road to Iverstown, and the next minute... I was off. Radiator looks like a second-hand accordion. Got someone here who can fix it, Pop?
Wouldn't be surprised.
How long will it take?
Can't tell. I'll look her over.
How much will it cost?
Won't know till it's done. What's the name?
Sam Masterson.
Anything else you want me to check?
Yeah, the radio. Listen. All I seem to get is Joes are the wives of the Joe.
Good evening, friends, and welcome to Citizens Forum.
Political meeting.
That's worse.
We regret to announce that Mr. Walter P. O'Neill, candidate for re-election as district attorney, was taken suddenly ill tonight and will not be able to speak as promised. However, we are fortunate to have in his place the best-loved civic figure of Iverstown. Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Walter P. O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow citizens, the issues in this election are very simple. We here in Iverstown...
That's enough of that malarkey.
Say, this Walter P. O'Neill, isn't he the kid that used to live on Sycamore Street? His father used to be a school teacher?
Yeah, that's him. You know him?
Yeah, used to. A little scared kid on Sycamore Street. Now he's running for district attorney.
Yep. Third term. He'll win in a breeze.
What's the odds?
No odds, no takers. He's had the job sewed up ever since he convicted that murderer. You know.
I don't, but I'd like to.
The one that killed old Lady Ivers. Nasty character, all right.
She certainly was.
No, I mean the murderer. But he sure fixed things for Walter O'Neill.
You mean a lifetime job?
I mean a wife who owns a whole darn town.
Oh, that rich? Who'd he marry?
Well, if you used to live here, you ought to know her. Old Lady Ivers' niece, Martha Ivers.
Martha Ivers. Sure, I knew Martha Ivers, all right. Only the way things worked out, maybe I didn't know her as well as I thought.
Walter.
Oh, back from the meeting already, Martha?
Walter, you were supposed to speak tonight. Did you forget?
No, I didn't forget.
Where were you then?
Getting drunk.
Why?
Why? Well, frankly, Martha, I'm a sentimental man. It occurred to me that this is the fourth anniversary of my father's death, so I had a drink to his sainted memory.
Walter, listen to me. What's done is done. You've got a life to live, a brilliant career.
That's what my father always said.
Your father was right.
My father was never right about anything. The day he walked in and found your aunt on the floor with her head bashed in and you standing over her like
I told you I never want that mentioned.
My father, may he rest in peace, was a greedy man. He knew that as long as he kept quiet, he could make you do anything he wished. He could even make you marry me. And so a man was hanged.
If he hadn't hanged for that, he would have hanged for something else. He was a criminal.
Martha, sometimes I wonder how you manage it.
It's done, it's past. I have nothing to fear. You'll never tell.
No, I'll never tell. But, Martha, do you ever stop to think that someone else was there that night? Sam Masterson.
Sam Masterson ran away from home that night. He's never been back. He never will come back.
No, perhaps not. But sometimes I wonder what would happen if he did.
What's yours, Bud? What do you have?
Bourbon. With water, if the bourbon isn't so good.
One bourbon. With water.
Excuse me, mister. Have you got a match?
Sure.
Thanks. You know the right time?
10:15.
I hate to bother you, but I got to catch a bus at 10:45. I don't know anybody around here, and...
And you were feeling lonesome.
Honest, I'm so lonesome, I'd like to have died.
You don't die of being lonesome. You just get terribly hurt. Can I buy you a drink?
Thanks. You talked me into it.
Her name was Tony. Tony Marichek. She just asked for a match, and the rest was murder. We sat there, and I thought to myself, she's a nice kid. She's had a rough time, but she's a nice kid. So I bought her a drink. Then a few more, and we talked about nothing in particular, till the goon behind the bar gave out with...
That's all, folks. No more drinks. It's 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock. I missed my bus.
I knew you'd missed it an hour ago.
You're smart. Anything else you know?
Maybe you didn't want to go to Ridgeville. Maybe you wanted to miss that bus.
Maybe I did.
Maybe you'd rather head for the west.
Maybe I would.
Maybe you'd like to go in my car.
Maybe you're right. Sam, there's something I ought to tell you first.
I'll get you a room at my hotel. We'll have to wait for my car to be fixed.
Sam...
The chances are we'll leave tomorrow.
Sam, I just got out of jail.
Like I said before, we'll leave tomorrow.
Like I meant to say, I think you're swell.
I got her a room right next to mine, told her goodnight, and hit the sack. The next thing I knew, it was 10 in the morning. Somebody was hammering at my dreams.
Hey, you in there, Masterson. Open up.
Okay. Take it easy, will you? It's still the middle of the night. Well, what do you want, Blue Eyes?
Nothing much. Just checking up on the dame, that's all.
Well, don't look now, but she's in her own room.
Yeah, a nice private room in the city clink.
You boys don't waste any time. What's the charge?
Violation of probation.
Probation for what?
Theft. She was let out yesterday on condition that she go back to her home in Ridgeville. I just picked her up at the Continental Trailways Depot. She was trying to cash in her bus ticket.
Well, maybe she was getting a lift. What's wrong with that?
Nothing, if you can prove it. Take a tip from me, Bub. Don't try it.
Is that official?
Yeah, take it or leave it. You see, you get your orders from me. I get mine from the chief. He gets his from the district attorney. So in a way, right now, you're talking to Mr. O'Neill himself.
Why not?
How's that?
Nothing. All I said was, why not?
Sammy Masterson.
Little Walter O'Neill.
I wouldn't have known you, Sam. How long's it been?
Oh, 17, 18 years. Remember, we were just kids when I left, the three of us.
Yeah, the three of us. You, me, and Martha.
What's she like, Walter?
Beautiful. I married her.
I know. You've done all right.
I guess. What about you? What have you done?
Knocked around, seen a lot, gambled.
You mean gamble?
Sure. That's my business.
I suppose I should say something disapproving, but I can't. I'm too glad you dropped in to see me, Sam.
Well, I wouldn't have bothered you, Walter, only I met a girl, and she's in a jam. She's in jail.
What's the charge?
Violation of probation. Name is Tony Marichek.
That's not easy to square, Sam.
Oh, you can do it for old time's sake.
Well, I'll do what I can, of course.
Walter, I was on my way downtown, and I... Oh, I didn't know you were busy.
Hello!
Hello.
The name is Masterson, Sam Masterson.
I'm sorry, but I... Sammy Masterson. Sammy, hello.
Oh, for a hug like that, I could say it again. Hello.
Oh, I didn't recognize you. You're all grown up.
You too. I never figured a skinny little mutt would grow up so beautiful.
Shows you what a new Tony will do.
It's funny. I always thought of Martha as... Well, sometimes you sort of keep things in your mind, things you saw as a kid. You know how it is.
Of course.
Look, Walter, you're a busy man, so I'll blow. Thanks for helping an old pal out. So long, Martha. I'll be seeing you.
Breezy character, Sam. Very sure of himself.
He always was. How long has he been here, Walter?
Came in last night.
What does he want?
Oh, he wants me to get his girl out of jail.
His girl?
That's what he said he wanted.
What do you think he wants?
What he can get. He's a gambler, a sharpshooter, an angle boy. Couldn't you see the blackmail in his eyes?
I haven't had your experience with criminals.
You will when Sammy starts to shake you down.
Release the girl. Maybe he'll just pick up and leave.
Leave? You think he'll leave a touch worth millions?
There's only one way to find out. Release the girl. If you want me, I'll be at home.
I thought you were on your way downtown.
I've changed my mind.
Miss Johnson, I want a routine check on a Samuel Masterson. He's probably registered at the hotel. Check all garages for his car. Yeah, I have a hunch he drove into town. Oh, and get hold of McCarthy, that private detective. Tell him I want to see him at once.
Hello?
Sam, what are you doing here?
I found your message when I got back to the hotel.
I asked you to phone.
Well, I figured you wouldn't mind if I came in person.
I don't. Oh, Sam, we've got so much to talk about.
Okay. Walter, why did you marry him?
Pick another subject.
It's your turn.
You.
An open book. I went out with the circus that night, made friends with the animals, learned all about human beings from them. Got a great training for being a gambler.
You sound as though you liked it.
You would have, too. You were supposed to come with me that night.
Oh, you do remember.
Yeah, your aunt didn't like me very much. I wasn't allowed to come in the house. Walter let me in. He was helping you do your lessons, and then your aunt must have heard my voice. She called to
you.
There
was a storm that night, thunder and lightning. I was afraid of the thunder.
Oh, you always told me you weren't.
I didn't want you to know. I wanted to be like you. Never afraid of anything.
What a couple of kids we were.
We're not kids now.
No, Martha, we're not kids. No time for dreams.
Only one dream, Sam. And it came true. You're here.
So is Walter.
Sam, about Walter and myself.
Don't tell me.
I want you to understand.
Oh, I understand, Martha. I understood when I saw you together in his office. I never saw a guy so nuts about anybody in my life.
All right, Sam. What do you want?
What do I want?
Yes, why did you come back here?
So? The road curve, but I didn't.
Tell me the truth.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You're beginning to sound just like your aunt.
Don't ever say that to me. Don't ever.
Look, baby, I won't be around here long enough to repeat it. As soon as a certain lady is out of your husband's clink and my car is out of Dempsey's alleged garage, I'm headed west.
I think you really mean that.
Any objections?
No. No objections. Kiss me, Sam. For old time's sake.
Yeah, sure. For old time's sake. Goodbye, Martha.
Goodbye, Sam. Hello, operator. I don't happen to have a phone book handy. Will you get me the number of Dempsey's garage?
McCarthy, you get all the dope I wanted?
Yeah, this Masterson is a big-shot gambler. Broke many times, always turns up with a new bankroll. Many arrests, no convictions. Beat a murder rap in Frisco, self-defense.
Anything else?
His car's in Dempsey's garage, smashed radiator. Dempsey was going to have it fixed today, but he got a call. He was told to stall around with a job.
Who called him, McCarthy?
Your wife.
Oh, I see. All right. I'm going down to have a talk with that Marichek girl. She'll be out of jail in an hour or so. From there, you go ahead, just as we planned.
Come on, Tony, come on. You better eat.
I don't think I can.
Why not? The spaghetti is swell. You picked this joint yourself.
I'm not hungry. My stomach's in a knot.
Here, have some wine. That ought to help. A little wine is the best thing.
Hey,
for...
you.
You talking to me?
Yeah, and you're talking to my wife.
Your wife?
You heard me, my wife.
Well, brother, you can have her. In spades.
It ain't gonna be that easy, wise guy. Some people gotta be taught a lesson. They gotta be taught they can't...
You want it here or outside?
Outside, if you got the guts. There's an alley through the kitchen door.
That suits me fine. Let's go.
Sam, wait a minute.
Shut up. Now, Mr. Hard Guy, if you want to start school, I'm ready to start...
Nice going, Joe. You kept him so busy, he never even saw me.
Where do you want him, Mac? Out in the car?
Yeah. Lefty can help you carry him.
What are you going to do with him? What?
I wouldn't exactly want to say. Okay, sister, we won't need you anymore. You did a swell job, now blow.
I guess they worked me over pretty thoroughly. When I came down off my pretty pink cloud, I found myself in the country somewhere, laid out in a ditch beside the road. The world stopped spinning after a while, and I noticed I was gripping something in my fist. A fancy little badge that said Private Detective. That made up my mind. I thumbed a ride back into town and headed straight for an old pal of mine. I waited at the bus depot for quite a while, and then my hunch paid off.
Sam.
No, not here. Outside. Come on. I ought to beat it out of you.
I guess I got it coming.
Why did you do it? Why? Why?
I didn't want to, Sam. This afternoon, before they let me out, the D.A. came and talked to me.
O'Neill. His name is Walter O'Neill.
He asked me a lot of questions about you.
About me?
He wanted to know why you came here, Sam.
What else?
A lot of questions, I forget.
Remember.
My head's all mixed up.
How about those goons, the ones who roughed me up?
They just wanted to scare you. O'Neill doesn't want you in town. They said if I didn't play with them, I'd go back to jail.
Cute kids.
They said they wouldn't hurt you.
Much. For 2 cents,
go ahead and hit me, Sam. I got it coming.
Kid, the only thing you got coming is a break. Look, you go back to the hotel. I'll give you my key. I got a little business to attend to.
O'Neill?
Maybe.
They don't want you here, Sam. I don't know what it is, but they don't want you.
They got me, whether they want it or not. They got me.
Please, Sam. Next time it might be worse.
Look, I don't like to get pushed around. I don't like people I like to be pushed around. I don't like anybody to get pushed around. Here's the key to my room. I'll see you later.
Well, Sam, it's a little late to be calling, isn't it?
I thought we should have a little talk, Walter. Who'll kick off first, your team or mine?
Really look pretty awful, Sam. Have a drink.
Thanks.
When the butler told me you were here, I...
Walter, what is it? I heard a noise and I thought...
Greetings.
Sam, what are you doing here?
I'm not sure yet.
Your face, you're hurt.
You ought to see the other guy.
What happened?
This little tin badge fell out of a guy's pocket and hit me in the face. Private detective. What's the trouble, Walter? Don't you trust your own cops?
You're right, Sam. I hired those men. I thought they might scare you out of town.
What about the girl?
Don't blame her too much. She knew she had to play with us or go back to jail. All right, we lose. We're ready to listen to the current quotations on blackmail.
Walter!
Blackmail? I said blackmail. Be easy with us, Sam. Remember, you're dealing with two old friends.
Which one of you am I dealing with?
With me. Alone. Go downstairs and wait for me, Sam. I'll be right down.
2 minutes, Martha, or I'll come back and get you.
Walter, you fool. He told me yesterday he didn't want anything. He was going away. If you'd let me handle it...
I didn't like what you had in mind.
What do you mean?
I mean a call to Dempsey's garage. That car could have been ready today. You've always been crazy about him, haven't you? You're crazy about him now.
Suppose I am.
Well, that leaves me with quite a problem, Martha.
All right, you sit here and think it out. I'm taking Sam for a little ride. This is the place, Sam. The top of the hill.
Top of the hill, right back where we started. Nice view from here, Martha.
Yes. Remember, Sam? We used to come up here when we were kids.
You can see the whole city from here, can't you? Up high like this, it doesn't even seem real.
Oh, it is real, Sam. It's very real. Owning it makes you feel very strong above other people and vulnerable.
It didn't do much for your aunt. Didn't she get her head bashed in?
Sam, I don't like to talk about it.
Sorry.
If only you hadn't run away that night.
Well, I waited for you. I waited a long time in the rain, but you didn't show.
It would have been so different if you hadn't run away. It would have been you instead of Walter. Or if you'd stop me, Sam. When I lifted the cane, why didn't you stop me?
Stop you?
You knew how much I hated her. Why didn't you stop me?
I wasn't there.
When it was all over and she was lying there on the floor, You weren't there.
No, Martha. I wasn't. I knew your aunt didn't like me. When I heard her call, I lammed out the door. I never saw what happened.
Sam.
I never knew until yesterday about your aunt. Or that man, the one they hung.
Sam.
The man that you and Walter killed.
Oh, Sam, help me. Help me.
All right, Martha. Tell me. Talk.
I suppose I'd always hated her. She was cruel and mean, but mostly I hated her because she didn't like you. And that night, she must have known you were in the house. She came in and accused me of lying to her. She raised her cane to beat me, but I grabbed it from her. I hit her, and then I hit her again, and I kept on hitting her until she didn't move anymore.
Oh, Martha.
That's when Walter's father came in. He saw me still standing over her. He told me what kind of story to tell about seeing some man beating my aunt, and I did. And after that, I knew I must do everything he said. even marry Walter, even send an innocent man to his death. Oh, Sam. Sam, you can't go away again. I need you here, Sam. I've lived so much inside myself, so choked with wanting something else that lives and breathes, so desperate for air and room to breathe it in. Oh, Sam, please. Please stay here, Sam.
You poor little kid. You poor little kid. Come on. Let's go back and talk it out with Walter.
Glad you came back, Sam. I rather thought you would.
Why?
Well, there's so much we have to talk about. Mainly what's to be done about Martha, me, and you. Well, that has a nice lilt to it, hasn't it? Almost like a poem. Only it should rhyme with murder.
Sammy's been drinking. He's drunk.
Oh, you're wrong, my dear. I have been drinking, but I'm not drunk. Sam, I had a funny dream last night. No, I'm not funny, really. I don't make a very handsome corpse.
Sam, make him stop.
Let me talk. Walter, what did you mean?
She married me to be sure I'd never tell.
Yeah, I know. What else should I know?
Shall I tell you, Sam? It's very obvious. She'll try to get you to kill me like she got me to send an innocent man to the gallows.
Sam, I told you the way it was. It was his father's idea. His father made me.
Or did she tell you, Sam, how she stood up in court? How she looked at the man without batting an eye? How she said, yes, that's the man. That's the man who killed my aunt. That even stuck in the throat of my father. My poor, departed, greedy father. But she was afraid of an unsolved murder. It was a threat to the riches and power she loved.
Sammy's lying. They were like leeches, both of them. They wanted everything.
No, Martha. All I ever wanted was you.
Everything you are, everything you have, I gave you. Now let me go.
That's beyond my power. You're insane, Martha. You're out of your mind. You see, Sam, you and I are really close to each other. It'll have to be either you or me. And unless you do it now, it'll be you. So, make up your mind. Make up your mind.
Passed out cold. I guess he was drunk. Here, help me lift him back in the chair.
Sam, wait.
Huh?
Do what he said, Sam. Do it now. Set me free. Set both of us free. We can make it seem he fell down the stairs, fractured his skull. Everyone knows he was a heavy drinker. Oh, Sam, it can be so easy, darling.
Help me lift him back in the chair. Easy now, fella.
Sam, I thought you loved me.
I thought I did, too.
And now you hate me.
Now I'm sorry for you. You're sick, Martha. You don't even know the difference between right and wrong.
You've killed. It says so on your record.
I've never murdered. Steady, fella. You're all right. Here, have a drink.
Oh, thanks.
Hair of the dog. You passed out cold.
Yeah. Well, you had your chance, Sam. It's a thin line, the one between life and death.
Yes, very thin. Sam, you'd better not move.
Oh, you see, Sam, I warned you. She's always carried that gun.
I don't think she'll use it. You'd have a little trouble squaring this one, Martha.
Why? You broke into the house, demanded money. You tried to attack me and I shot in self-defense. I've got a right to kill in self-defense. That's what the law says, doesn't it, Walter? Doesn't it?
Tell her, Walter. Tell her it'll hold up fine. I'm a man with a police record. You're right, Martha. It's a perfect case. If you can get Walter to be your witness. Want to lay a bet? Well, I can't do any business around here. Guess I'll run along.
Where are you going, Sam?
To find a girl. Name of Tony Marichek. We got a date. We're heading west.
Sam, wait.
I feel sorry for you, Martha. I feel sorry for both of you. Goodbye.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
You love him, Martha.
No, I was afraid. For the first time in my life, I was afraid. I thought you wouldn't stand by me any longer. I thought you'd leave me.
No, no, Martha. I won't leave you. I love you. No, don't cry, Martha. It's not your fault.
It really isn't, is it, Walter?
No. Nor mine, nor my father's, nor your aunt's. It isn't anyone's fault.
Then we'll be together. We'll always be together, won't we?
Yes, we'll always be together, Martha. Always, always.
Then let's get some sleep, and tomorrow we'll... Walter! No!
Hello. Police headquarters. This is Walter O'Neill, the district attorney. You better send a man right over. I've just killed my wife.
And so the curtain falls on Hal Waller's thrilling Paramount production, The Strange Love of Martha Ivers.
Stars in the Air, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 17th, 1952 on CBS. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.